B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, February 19th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Want to thank everyone listening on the talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports news from over at the news desk. Plus, we'll bring you up to speed on the latest in the weekend's action in the North American LCS National PUBG League and Overwatch League. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Epic Games will have one less headache to worry about as they move through 2019. Alfonso Ribeiro's attempt to trademark the Carlton dance has been denied by the U.S. Copyright Office. They say the moves were a simple dance routine and as such not registrable as choreography.
See now, you know, like, if it's complex enough, you can register a dance as choreography.
Which, actually, he tried to do because one of the things that he submitted was actually the routine that he did from ABC's Dancing with the Stars. But in that case, the Copyright Office says that he himself isn't actually the one that would have claim to that. It would be ABC.
You know what? You're right.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. Any dance you do for Dancing with the Stars, you
that's
don't own
true.
That.
That's true. Yeah. If it's a part of that program, ABC owns that wholesale. So yeah, I knew that this would be very legally complicated.
Yes.
Because of, you know, like, it happened in coordination with a television show. So does the television show, the production
NBC
network,
then own it.
Yeah, the broadcast network own it. And it turns out, man, no, you know what? It's so easy, nobody owns it.
Well, that's
so,
the thing is, you also have to start putting a line on, okay, when is it complicated enough to make it a registerable dance move?
Yeah. So sorry, Alfonso, that it looks like he's not going to be getting any money from Epic, but it does look like Epic might be in the clear for when it comes to, you know, like Orange Shirt Kid and Backpack Kid and all of those kids.
Well, we'll see if they win their suits.
While Bayonetta 3 was conspicuously absent from last week's Nintendo Direct, the game is still being worked on and is further along than people realize. That's according to Nintendo's senior product marketing manager, who said the game will release later in 2019 in the Nintendo Power podcast.
Neat.
That's cool. Awesome.
Neat. I want that.
I mean, when we didn't see it at the Nintendo Direct, I was like, oh man, Bayonetta's still a ways off. Nope. Turns out we just didn't have anything to show. So anyway, we'll see you later this year.
Cool. I mean, that's cool and all, but I mean, like, I don't know. That's not a series that I have a whole lot of attachment to, so it's like,
but
registers
needs,
very minorly on my
hype
meter.
But it's a game that I think absolutely needs to.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the thing is, the second game got, again, kneecapped by being on the Wii U, so I'm glad this one will be on a system that someone actually owns.
Yeah.
A Super Mario Brothers cartridge just sold for a ridiculous sum of money. It was one of the few sticker-sealed copies of the game still in existence, as it was only available in New York and LA for the test launch of the NES. The 9.4 graded game sold for just over $100,000.
Wow. You know what my mom sends me? You know what my mom sends me? She sends me an email with this story in it saying, oh, I think you have one of those lying around. Oh, mom,
my copy would be lucky to have the label still on it.
Right. I have the combination Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt cartridge. That's a different thing.
That's worth 7 cents.
Exactly. Do you know how many of those are out there? You can't throw a stone without finding one of those.
Longtime fan favorite Jade will be returning to the cast in Mortal Kombat 11.
Yes.
The character will be resurrected literally and taking an undead assassin vibe. She joins Cabal, Kano, and Devorah as returning characters.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
Jade was always interesting as a character.
She's dope to play at.
Listen, I remember is in the movie she got ate by a statue.
Just like Ronda Rousey is playing Sonya Blade. Can we get Zelina Vega to play Jade?
Yes please,
please.
Is the best cosplay ever for a lot of reasons. Shut up, Norris. Don't judge me.
I don't recall Jade getting eaten by a statue in the movie.
Was that not Jade?
In Armageddon, she gets eaten by a statue?
Like it comes alive off the wall and
I don't remember
any of this, but okay.
It was a terrible film.
Yeah, I can't say I remember any of that movie.
That's fair.
Another title coming to the Switch in the near future will be Deltarune. The enigmatic first chapter of Toby Fox's new game will be coming to the Switch for free. It'll be releasing on the eShop on February 28th.
First of all, I'm glad it's free, because if they've had the nerve to try to charge for a game that he released for free, that would be very upsetting.
Yeah. Well, and then, maybe in 7 years you'll get the rest of it.
Maybe.
I have to wonder if, Undertale did so well that, Nintendo came to Toby Fox and was like, we'd really like to put Deltarune, and he was like, okay, but it's got to be free.
Even he was apprehensive about the idea of whether it was even coming to the Switch or not when he released it.
Exactly. I don't know if, like you say, I don't know if we'll ever get more of Deltarune, whether he'll ever actually be able to assemble a team that can work with his vision and put it together, but
I just don't know how, as a creator, you can leverage Nintendo to be like, here's my game, please put it up on your store for free. Because if you can do that, wouldn't anyone who can throw together an asset flip be doing that?
My theory on that is that when they approached him about putting Undertale on, that was one of the requirements. Because in the Switch version of Undertale is there a reference to Deltarune's existence.
Interesting.
So maybe it was part of his agreement.
Apex Legends is still going strong in its third week, but the developer isn't wasting any time enforcing fair play. They've already banned over 16,000 accounts due to cheating and have encouraged their community to try to and record evidence of unfair play. As they put it, cheaters suck.
Yes, I am all for this. Listen, I may not be the biggest fan of Apex Legends. I think battle royale games have kind of run their course with me. Like, I'm over it. Like, I'm
playing them anyway. You do enjoy watching.
I love watching NPL, but I can just admit that I'm never going to be able to play at that level, or any level, really, that's beyond a loot pinata.
You're like me in StarCraft. I just accepted long ago that I will never be any good at this game, but I love watching
it. Exactly. So, I just don't think that Apex Legends at this point holds any appeal for me personally. But I do like seeing them enforcing their rules and, banning, going out of their way to ban people trying to get around those rules.
I gotta say, though, when they have, 25 million was the last mark that we saw, and they've only banned 16,000 so far, does that maybe mean that cheating isn't as rampant as it is in some games?
A lot more people to catch, though.
Such a drop in the bucket.
I'm gonna say that there's probably more work to do on that front, but that's a pretty good start.
Apex Legends still hasn't released in China, but its absence is causing another title to grow exponentially. A small Swedish developer created a game on Steam called Apex Construct last year, which is a VR title that goes for $29.99. The similar names and logos have caused a 4,000% increase in traffic to the page.
Wow.
Despite the fact that Apex Legends wouldn't even be a Steam title. Many people who buy the game, however, are angry when they realize it isn't Apex Legends.
Another victory for America.
Also, Apex Legends is free. You don't pay money for it.
Apex Legends is free and will be on Origin.
Yeah, I have no sympathy for this whatsoever.
But if I'm the people who made Apex Construct, I'm sitting back going like, all right.
At first, I'm kind of mad that they stole my logo, and then I'm like, I'm not so mad anymore.
Well, you know what? Yeah, let's just hold off on that one.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. God of War has had an amazing year in 2018, bringing home incredible sales numbers and tons of awards. That seems to be continuing into 2019 as they stole the show at the DICE Awards.
Yeah, that would be saying the least of it. They won so many awards.
Made out like bandits.
It looks like all the awards except for...
It's like half the categories. It's any category that they were applicable
in
for.
Any category that has outstanding at the front.
Right. Yeah. So I'm just going to go through the awards that they did win. They won Game of the Year. Makes sense.
Okay.
Outstanding achievement in game direction.
Yeah.
Outstanding achievement in game design.
Outstanding.
Adventure game of the year.
Yes.
Fair enough. Outstanding achievement in story.
Don't have a drop for that. Okay, there we go. All right.
These all make sense.
Yeah, outstanding achievement in sound design.
Outstanding.
Achievement in original music composition.
There's outstanding there.
Achievement in character design with Kratos.
Outstanding.
And achievement in art direction. That is a lot of awards to take home.
Yeah.
That is a... do you think their legs got tired climbing the stage?
Probably. I don't think this episode is going to be taking any awards for sound direction at all.
Probably
starts
not.
But I mean, like, people up there each time. They just start sending up like, oh, here's the level designer.
They have the custodian up there by the end of it.
They have the water boy up there, man.
Right, yeah, exactly. But I mean, like, no, congratulations to that entire team. The entire Santa Monica team did an amazing job on that game. All of those awards well deserved for them.
So a couple others real quick.
Yeah, let's talk
just about, so we don't only talk about God of War.
Yeah, exactly.
Portable game of the year went to Florence. Outstanding achievement for an independent game went to Celeste. No shock there.
I am really, I'm going to have to check that game out because I really enjoy the soundtrack.
Immersive reality game of the year went to Beat Saber. Outstanding achievement in online gameplay went to Fortnite. I can see that. Strategy simulation game of the year for Into the Breach. Let's see what else. Role playing game of the year to Monster Hunter World.
Yeah, that'll make sense.
Sports game of the year, Mario Tennis Aces, which basically means beat it, EA.
Pretty much. And fighting game of the year goes to Super Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Did you watch the DICE Awards? Do you think that spread sounded fair? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we'll bring you all the latest in the NALCS, the National PUBG League, and the Overwatch League. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But next, we'll check in with Sarah over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
If you want to stream in China, hope you can follow the rules.
Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, the NALCS, National PUBG League, and Overwatch League were all in action over the weekend. We'll give you all the latest coming up in about 15 minutes here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get an eSports gaming update.
With Sarah Skopic.
Tencent has created a list of guidelines for streamers in China, which follows up on the country's requirements for internet governance. Included in the list are predictable things like no inciting violence or giving out people's private information, but also a ban on discussing religion, politics, nationalities, or regions. In addition, there's a catch-all rule of no creating any negative social influences, which is quite vague.
That just seems like a blanket term to get anyone in trouble
for
any reason.
Yeah. That they want at any time.
Nope. Yeah, like, we don't like this, so this is, like, it's creating a negative social influence. Define that. You need to define that very specifically.
Tencent has to do something to impress the Chinese government so that they can get their games published again, okay?
Is this what it is? Is this what has prevented Tencent games from being able to be brought into the country?
I have no idea.
Like, I doubt it.
Being a streamer in China is going to be so hard.
We've speculated on this in the past, but could it just be something as simple as voice chat and being toxic?
Yes.
I mean,
yes. Creating a negative, so if somebody recorded you, on there, and it was your, and they have visual evidence of your name and your voice going off, and that's you. Yeah, easily toxic chat could be a jailable offense, I guess.
Oh my gosh! This is obviously Tencent's guidelines, not necessarily the Chinese government's guidelines.
But Tencent has had their games basically not, I don't want to say blocked, but no new Tencent games have come into the country in almost a year.
What does that mean? This is probably, and this is all speculation, but this is probably the Chinese government saying, this is what we need you to do to get your games.
You have to assume that any move that Tencent makes at this point is course correction to try to fix whatever problem the Chinese government has. And now I'm just wondering, maybe that's the big issue.
The list of sponsors continues to grow for Overwatch League, but more impressive is how many non-endemic sponsors they're bringing into the space. Following up on their recent announcement of Coca-Cola as a drink sponsor, they've now brought in State Farm to sponsor the second season. They joined T-Mobile and Toyota as non-endemic sponsors to go along with the traditional sponsors like Intel and Twitch.
This is huge.
That's huge.
There's so much money in just the names Coca-Cola and State Farm alone.
Oh my God.
Leave out Intel or Toyota.
Well, in April, too, Hasbro is coming out with a line of action figures. I think they have like 8 different ones lined up for the first set.
Wow.
Here's the thing that I find so interesting about this is that the LCS has been around and been the more proven esport, I guess you could say, for the better part of its existence. But yet,
It's the geolocated franchise model.
I really do think it is.
I think that's a big part of it. I also think that, listen, whoever's selling for Blizzard is doing a dynamite job. They really are.
Two new strategies stormed onto the League of Legends scene last weekend, but they won't be seeing play in the LEC region. While both the LEC and LCS regions voted unanimously to approve a hot fix in the game, which effectively kills the Frostmancy strategy, the LEC took things a step further. They voted to ban all forms of minion manipulation, despite Riot having said that some forms were okay.
So is this just in direct response to the story that we covered last week about 100 Thieves?
Kind of. Half of it is. The Frostmancy thing is a different thing that was happening in both LCK and LCS, and was maybe the most boring League of Legends you've ever watched. I'm not surprised they voted to ban that outright.
We've talked about that in the past, but that seems more like a stall-out tactic than anything.
Right, exactly. So I'm glad to see that both things are banned out in LEC, so good call on their part.
Faceit has been tapped to run the first PUBG Global Summit. It'll be called the Faceit Global Summit PUBG Classic and will mark the first global event of the newly formed PUBG esports scene. The event will run from April 16th through the 21st at Excel London. 24 teams from the 9 competitive regions will be invited to compete.
Can't wait to see this. This is going to be a lot of fun. Like I said, I've been enjoying the NPL quite a bit.
Yeah.
I really enjoy watching competitive PUBG. I like the way that they've come to be able to present it. So seeing the international side of that competition is going to be really fun. Looking forward to it.
So, not exactly esports, but important to Twitch. French President Emmanuel Macron held a grand debate on Twitch this week in an effort to get younger people involved in the political scene. The debate was held over the course of the day last Tuesday and invited questions and comments from the chat to both himself and other high-ranking members of the French government.
Why not?
This is amazing. First of all, we really kind of need to pull over and recognize how huge this is. We've talked about how transformative Twitch has been for things like video games, and this just really kind of proves how far and how wide the reach of Twitch can be beyond video games. And I think that really can't be understated here.
Yeah, I tuned in to check it out, and I don't know why it didn't occur to me that it would only be in French.
Joe, you idiot.
I was out for like 5 minutes before I was like, you know what? I don't know that I'm going to be able to glean much from this.
Yeah, listen, you're not going to be able to understand anything that they're saying or what the chat is saying. So
I just left.
Yeah, that's probably fair. But I do think that this is a really big deal. And I think that, you know, in the way that platforms like Twitter have been really important to some people's careers or to, you know, different social movements that have happened, you know, any platform, YouTube, Twitch, Justin TV, if that's still a thing, like any of these platforms can be very transformative, especially when they have wide audiences, and we've seen that Twitch as a platform has a huge audience. So this is very interesting.
Doublelift is no stranger to speaking his mind or making it about him in interviews. He's now said he'd like others to adopt a similar mindset and be more interesting when on the camera. He said it's important because it makes people talk about the game and creates a conversation.
I totally agree.
Thank God. Yeah. Now, he's receiving some heat for this, by the way.
What? Those people
from
are
who?
Idiots.
Just people who, I guess, have no personality and are really threatened by somebody who does.
Here's the thing. Before you...
They're calling him arrogant for it.
I mean, well, that might not be
wins.
Wrong, but who
first
cares?
All,
it doesn't mean he's
all,
not right
in,
either.
He is arrogant, and he has been called arrogant his entire career. That's nothing new.
That's not new. But when you think about personalities in League, you think of who?
Well,
Faker and Doublelift.
Right, you think of Faker and Doublelift.
Maybe
because
Afromu.
Maybe Afromu. But, like, look at any sport. Look at the NFL. Who do you remember? The diva wide receivers.
Yeah,
the ones who were arrogant and made it about them. But those are the
Sanders, Dez Bryant. History is...
Randy Moss.
Yeah, history is replete with all these types of characters, man. Esports should be no different.
Last week on the show, we told you about an all-female League of Legends team. We worried they weren't being given a fair chance to compete and that they were being set up for failure. It seems our fear were realized as they're now 0-3 in the league. That includes, by the way, a game where they were on the wrong end of a 52-2 final score.
Oh, ouch.
No.
Ouch. That's not good.
It was three completely non-competitive games. They got smashed all three times. They've got other teams banning supports to troll them. It's bad.
Called it.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. Evo Japan was held over the weekend, making it one of the busiest weekends in esports this year so far. So for all the latest, we turn it over to our FGC expert, Norris. What is going on?
Well, the first biggest story that came out of Evo Japan was Dead or Alive 6 and their sort of presentation for the game and their plans for a world tour and all that stuff. The stream just got cut off completely at one point.
Oh, God.
Mostly because the guys playing in the demo froze framed it on basically what looked like a really inappropriate sort of...
It was super
pose.
Sexually suggestive.
Yeah.
Oh, come
it was
on.
Bad.
It
was,
did
it was
those
really
guys
bad.
Suffer any penalties? Because that's ridiculous.
I
mean,
and I'm not... We're not talking like, oh, it was like 3 seconds and then
they
cut away.
They froze they were it, stopped it, and spun the camera around.
It was really gratuitous.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you had the incident on stage where the models were groping each other and talking about... I'm assuming that they were talking about the jiggle physics. So I have to think that, you know, like, this is exactly what we said. The two spectrums that DOA wants to operate in, where you've got the jiggle physics over here and take
esports.
Me seriously as an esports scene over here. You can't have both those things.
You can't have both of them.
Yeah, you're either going to be, you know, you want to be respected as a serious game, or... You want to be dead or alive.
Yeah, but we got to get to some of these results here.
Yeah, so Momochi of Japan, he wins in Street Fighter V after a bracket reset against Fudo. That was a really interesting set. Arslan Ash of Pakistan wins Tekken 7 after resetting the bracket over AK of the Philippines. We have Summit in a really, really great grand finals and wins in Guilty Gear over Cha-Cha-Cha. That was a bracket reset. That was really
great.
Wow,
that's a lot of bracket resets.
The competition, once it got into top fours, top eights and top fours were really, really, really good, and everything was really competitive. Some quick announcements. As I said, DOA has a world championship tour that they're trying to start up, offering over $90,000 in prizes.
Yeah, good luck.
And
with that.
The Julia Chang and Negan DLC for Tekken 7 is coming out.
So they're
really
actually
soon.
They're releasing Negan as a DLC
the end of this month.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's... Does he have Lucille?
He does.
Yeah.
Really?
It looks great.
Yeah. It's actually pretty cool. You should go look up the video.
I want to check that out.
Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Did you watch Evo Japan? What did you think of that weird DOA press conference? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily, Overwatch League returned last week and was joined by a busy esports scene. We'll give you the latest in OWL as well as the NALCS and National PUBG League. Ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com. This is Checkpoint XP. Esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Radio, 1300 AM in New Haven, Connecticut, as well as Fox Sports 910 AM in Richmond, Virginia. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got a ton of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes, and there's only one place to get them. That's over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Last weekend saw action in the NALCS, the National PUBG League, and the return of the Overwatch League. So it's time for us to break them down, and starting with the NALCS.
Yep, another busy weekend in NALCS, and definitely highlighted by the first loss of Team Liquid on the year.
Sick. I'm so sick.
Wow.
They fall to a paltry 7-1 on the season.
Who beat them?
They were defeated by Team Solomid.
Team Solomid
playing as well as I've seen them play. Well, this incarnation ever. I've never seen this incarnation play that well. But I mean, that looked like classic choke the life out of you TSM that I haven't seen in what feels like years now.
How'd the Thieves do? How'd my team do?
They went 0-2.
It's not looking good.
They had a bad weekend.
No. It's not looking good.
I mean, I'm back on the Liquid train.
but honestly, this split just may be a wash for them, honestly.
Yeah.
They may be taking this split to try some new things, work out their communication stuff.
That's the biggest thing for them is communication. They've got new players who don't necessarily speak the language particularly well. There's definitely some communication problems on that team that they're trying to work through. Of course, with Team Liquid taking their first loss of the year, Dash's hair is officially safe.
True.
He had promised that if Team Liquid went undefeated this season, he would dye his hair Team Liquid colors.
Really?
That was his promise because he was pretty sure it wouldn't happen. And little wouldn't you know it, he jinxed them, and immediately they lose afterwards. So that's nice. Golden Guardians takes another win this week. They beat, of course, Counter Logic Gaming.
Oh no, Joe!
No, but here's the thing: it's not like CLG was the abject horror that they were last season, right? They have been winning some really sort of methodical, slowy, you know, really.
Have they? I've stopped paying attention to them.
Boring games.
Really?
They had.
Okay.
They had. They were not a terrible team.
I stopped paying attention to them the moment Double Lift left, so I don't know. But both C9 and TSM went 2-0 on the weekend, so they had a really strong weekend. And we're now at the standings. Currently, Team Liquid is in the lead 7-1. Cloud9 is in second at 6-2. FlyQuest at 5-3. Then you have a big cluster of people who are 4-4 before you get down to the Cellar Dwellers like Optic and Clutch, who come in at 9th and 10th place.
Well, yeah. As we turn our attentions over to the NPL, I guess Cloud9 really likes that second place spot because that is exactly where they are in the NPL as well. They were able to climb out of that third place spot and into second by a margin of only 4 points, mind you.
I'm going to tell you why that's scary. Because when you think about Cloud9 all throughout last season, they had a bunch of teams outside of Rocket League who were not necessarily the best team.
No, they just hung around near the top.
They're starting to climb up, though.
And soon as that postseason hit, they made moves. This could be the year of Cloud9.
We just had the year of Cloud9.
I don't know that it's going to be in the NPL because Tempo Storm has really solidified themselves as the leader of the pack with a total of 225 points. Cloud9 in second with 175.
Ouch.
That is almost 50 points ahead of them.
Unless Tempo Storm just stops playing, nobody's catching that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the nice thing about PUBG is, I mean, at the same time, a couple of bad games and a couple of good games by another team could close that gap.
See, that's exactly it, because we're talking about margins here. And again, Tempo Storm has 50 points over their next rival, which is Cloud9, but there's only a 4-point separation between the second and third place spots. So nothing is necessarily decided outside of Tempo Storm. Looks like they're going to be taking home the first place spot in the regular season.
Which, by the way, a team I'm not used to hearing about. You know, we hear about our Liquids and our Cloud9s.
Yeah.
Tempo Storm is one that's always been there, but not one I'm used to talking about very
much.
Yeah,
no, but they are cleaning house in NPL this season, and good for them. They are looking really great. We are getting ready to move into the NPL Royal Royale, which has confused a lot of people, because it is very,
almost everybody.
Now,
in fact.
Now it is very confusing. What is happening is they're taking the NPL teams and the contenders teams, and they're smashing them together, all 32 teams, into one tournament. So basically, if you were in an odd place, so first, third, fifth, then you got grouped into Group A, and then the evens got grouped into Group B, and then they picked the opposing NPL contenders teams that their opposition would be facing.
So
that's
like
cool.
It is
place
very cool.
Gets to pick the whoever's playing first place.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's kind of
so
cool.
Exactly. So now February 22nd, Group A is going to play. February 23rd, Group B plays, and then February 24th, they all come together. The final 16 teams come together for an $80,000 tournament, which is going to be really fun to watch. NPL Royale, going to be looking forward to it. You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 107.7 The Franchise in Oklahoma City and 107.9 The Franchise in Tulsa. It's time to turn our attentions over to the OWL, who had its opening weekend this weekend. And what an amazing round of esports, because with the injection of new blood into this league, it has really shaken up the expectations and the standings.
Listen, and part of why I'm so excited about this season of Overwatch is because those expansion teams are performing so well. Over the opening week, all but two of the expansion teams have at least a win.
Took major victories, too.
And in one of those cases, it's not quite fair, because you'd have two expansion teams going up against each other that went to game five. So they are very evenly matched.
So this is a great sign for the parity of the league.
Absolutely, yes.
An even better sign is that to defending champs, the London Spitfire, they lost both their matches.
They
this week.
Did.
They
yeah.
are in 19th place right now.
Weird
by
to
only
say.
The Dragons.
Weird to say.
But their opening match against the Philly Fusion was a ton of fun.
It was
to
everything
watch.
We wished the grand finals would have been.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Way more competitive.
And left everyone asking, where was this Philly team in
goats.
The grand finals?
Goats.
I mean, so goats definitely favors them. Favors that team a lot.
But they said it before the whole thing started that, you know what, everyone thinks that we're not better than we were last year, and that's just wrong.
Thank
we
you.
Are better
that's,
than we were
that's
last year.
That's actually what I think it was, is there's been various interviews where various players have basically said that we never quite came together as a team, mm-hmm. and over the offseason, they definitely solidified that.
Yes,
and you
there's
can
something
see
to be said for stability.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
No, most definitely, and I think Philly is showing a lot of that, mostly because their core is the same, but also I think when they're all sitting together, as I saw at Media Day, they genuinely seem to like each other a lot more, which I think is a big factor.
I need to hear about the team with the best branding in Overwatch League. How did the Hangzhou Spark do?
The Hangzhou Spark, along with Vancouver, will make the playoffs.
Really?
They will be.
Wow. You're willing. You're willing to go out that soon.
Week one.
You've only seen the Titans play the Dragons.
They're that good.
No, come on. I don't think you can tell that just by them going up against the Dragons. That's not fair.
I will give you Vancouver. Sure, we need to see more. Hangzhou looks just as competent as Philly.
They're tied
as Nixon,
right now.
As any of the other top teams,
even in
that are out there.
Mm-hmm. I will give you that.
They look incredibly competent, especially considering in that first map, their star player Gushue played two maps.
Not just competent, but confident as well.
Yes.
Which brings me to the Atlanta Reign.
Oh, man. My surprise over this last weekend.
That was. I mean,
that match with Philly.
They swept them. That was amazing.
Well, they didn't sweep Philly. They swept. They took Philly to a full set to a tiebreaker.
Am I thinking of Paris then? Because I get Paris and Atlanta mixed
up
because of their branding.
Swept London.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
It was a Paris that was a 3-1, but Atlanta still performed very well.
They did. No, they did. But I mean, really, Paris coming out and stomping on the former champions, the London Spitfire. That raised my eyebrows considerably.
The match I think you watched
was
when Atlanta swept Florida.
Yeah, yes. The mayhem. Yes. Which is, you know.
I mean,
they're not
the mayhem,
looking very well.
Yeah, it's the mayhem.
I mean, it's not the same mayhem as last year, though, so it's really just as sad.
But anytime you have a new team come into the league and perform even, you know, comparably that's a win.
Oh, yeah.
So having to come in and start beating teams that have been there. Usually, when you talk about quote-unquote expansion teams, and I understand OWL is not a traditional, mm-hmm. you know, here's the expansion team coming in and getting beaten up on by the all the traditionals. This, it's very impressive to watch expansion teams come in and play well.
Well, even the Washington Justice, which was the only team that actually fell to one of the pre-existing teams, the New York Excelsior, mm-hmm. even managed to take at least one map off of them.
I mean, that's fair.
From Nixle.
Yeah.
The mighty Nixle.
Well, let's talk about the Dragons, because...
Well, now listen, I heard that the Dragons in the preseason got the monkey off their back by getting the first win, and
that's
of course...
That's what these two idiots were saying.
Right. Now, so clearly they were ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
No, because they lost Fearless, and while people were all excited that they got Gamzu, he literally came in 2 days before the season started.
He's had a day to practice.
I don't even know if he had a day to practice.
No, because listen, I do take a look at the memes and the boards and stuff like that, okay?
I look at the memes.
They're already the butt of the jokes. Is that deserved?
No.
Come on.
It is not.
Really?
Shanghai will win a match.
They look messy.
They might
I hope so.
Shanghai will win a match. They might even win two.
Yes, I hope they don't fall to 0-60 this year.
Shanghai
against two.
Shanghai are better than Florida and Washington right now.
All right. See, that's at least saying something.
I'm going to hold you to that, Norris. I'm going to keep that in mind. I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to hold you to that. Listen, we want to hear from you. It's a hugely busy weekend in esports. What were you watching? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And make sure that you join our Discord channel. You can find that over at checkpointxp.com. Just click the Discord icon. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Make sure you tune in tomorrow when we'll ask our social media followers what genre of video game they'd play if it was the only one they'd be allowed to play ever again. And join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duties as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.